Dave Moore on Today FM.
Hi, this is the Dave Moore podcast from Today FM. Emer's chair's acting up. What's going on there?
I thought I was raising it so it could be closer to the microphone, but it's at its peak, so it sunk me down.
Okay, well, Cahill, reef that microphone down because you need to talk into the top of that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's all I was touching it for.
Ooh, Emer was trying to be, you know, in The Real Housewives that I watch.
I know the show. I don't know any of the things you're about to reference.
They always say the higher the hair, the closer to God. That's what you were trying to do with your chair.
That was it.
But actually, you need to just be back home in your hair so it gets higher and higher and higher.
Although, being there, done that.
We know Maria likes to put the seat as low as is humanly possible, meaning, are you connected to Satan? That's what I'm getting out of
this. Yes, you do
no
like
comment.
Your seat very low.
Yeah. I do. I love a seat low. Because I feel like if my seat's too high and my desk is at the level it's always at, that I slouch over my laptop then.
Is that why you do it?
I thought you were slouched over my laptop.
No, is that why you lower your chair, she means? Not is that why you slouch over your laptop?
That's why I do. Because I prefer to sit straight and have the laptop up.
You'd be a terrible
piano
player.
I think I need
player.
To stand you up here. Yeah.
You'd be playing the piano and it'd be chin height. You'd just be tapped.
There's a fella in this building, and if any time you pass him when he's at his desk, he's on one of these floors. This floor, guys. He does not move. And it's incredible. If I was, I'd slouch sometimes, cross my legs.
Position. Yeah.
He is, and if we go into a meeting and we come back out an hour later out of the meeting, he is in the same position, just typing away. It's insane.
Does he have a good posture?
I suppose so, yeah.
I want to know who this is, so I'm going to pull the microphones down very quickly. He's going to say the name of a goat. Wow, I did not notice that.
No, but have any of you ever caught that?
No, but now it's all I'm going to see for the foreseeable.
It's incredible.
Now, that's not fair for our podcast listeners.
Well, they're not.
Actually, even if you said the name, they wouldn't know who it was. But
that's not what it was. No, we can't. We're not saying names. We ain't naming names.
Although, we can't talk about Matt Cooper sitting on an inflatable ball because that is common knowledge.
He still does it.
Yeah. I did it one time. I was covering on a show, and the producer who was working on the show at the time also sat on those balls. It was all the trend at the time. And I was freelancing. I was new, didn't have a contract here, was still trying to impress. And I came in first. And I wasn't going to steal someone else's chair. So I sat on the ball. And I was fine for a little while. And I was on a very serious call because I was working on The Last Word. And sometimes you do very serious interviews and topics. And as I was talking to this person about this very serious topic, I realized that the ball was sliding and I was going with it. So I was trying. I was connected to the landline phone. So I kept gradually getting further and further away, and then they got me a chair and gave me a job.
Actually,
so, there you go.
Matt Cooper's best buddy Ivan Yates, he's downstairs covering. Isn't that his name, Ivan Yates?
Yeah.
There must be something along the lines with him.
He has
a
really bad back.
He has to lie down often.
He was downstairs. I went down getting a coffee and he was down on his knees reading his briefs.
Yeah. Poor fella. Yeah.
Sorry, can we just address, Cahill, why do you steal their coffee?
Yeah.
It's way, way nicer down there. It's absolutely horrible up in that kitchen.
What?
Oh, the coffee. They're exact same machines. I don't understand at all.
No. Better
milk
water?
Is way frothier.
Here, we're not even talking about the things we're going to be talking about.
No. I was trying to bring us to coffee.
Oh, routines.
Coffee in the morning.
In the morning. See, Maria's clever. See, that's why she's the boss. The reason we're talking about coffee is because we did speak about morning routines because, for goodness sake, a survey came out that said almost half of us do 4 household jobs before 7 a.m. First of all, I don't even believe that, except then everyone just told us that they do. It's terrifying. Una's in Wicklow today. Hi, Una.
Hi, good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very good. And yourself?
I'm all right. We're getting tired now.
Well, tell me, what do you get done pre-7 a.m.?
So, my other half's a postie, so I drop him to work in the morning.
Right, what time is that?
That's 5:45 he has to be in.
Jeepers. Okay, so you're up, very early. Are you kind of stumbling out of the house into the car to drop him?
Oh, I literally get dressed in my sleep at 5:30. Okay. He's the one who has to get ready for work at that time.
Yeah. So, but you still drop him to work, though?
So I drop him to work, and then I take the dogs for a walk. That's when I wake up. That's when I truly wake up.
Okay.
And then I get home, have my own breakfast, get the house like the kitchen cleaned and get organised for the before I wake up the kids.
So hang on, you clean the kitchen after getting in, after walking the dogs, after dropping the hubby to work? All this
I can't function at night time. That's the problem. So
okay,
after dinner, I'm
so
like,
this
oh, no.
is right. This is your moment. Okay, so you get the kitchen cleaned. Then you get the kids up then at that point.
Yes, so I get them up. Well, I try and get them up.
Sure.
they're not morning people like me.
And then what time do you leave to get to work then?
So I try to leave at 8 o'clock. I actually work in a school, so I'm lucky enough in July I can work from home.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
It's not as bad, but I try and leave at 8 o'clock. It's normally closer to 8:15 when I get them out of the house.
The question I have for you is, what time do you go to bed at?
Well, that's the thing. See, I'm happy. I'd love to go to bed at 9 o'clock. My kids don't want to go to bed.
No, I know. That's the problem I face.
So I'm really, I'm struggling to stay awake to get them to bed when I want them to go to bed.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's my big struggle.
That is phenomenal. Unbelievable amount of pre-7 a.m. work. I'm very, very impressed.
I can't function at night time. That's the problem.
Well,
so
listen,
I have to get it done in the morning.
Yeah, some people are just morning people, and you're definitely one of those. Una, thanks a million for that. See you later.
No worries, Dave.
Stay awake till 9. Bye.
Bye.
See ya. Lee is on with a kind of a sentiment that everyone's sending through.
So what you're telling me, Dave, is that roughly 50% of people are getting 4 tasks done before 7 a.m. I wonder if those 50% of people have anything in common. And maybe it's the fact that they might be women that are doing all the work before 7 a.m. Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I would say, lads, come on, step up and tell us what you're doing before 7 a.m. But Anthony seems to be very like me.
These are 4 tasks I complete before I leave. I get up, I go to the toilet, I make coffee, and I go out the door.
I hear you, Anthony. I had a shower into that. Sarah's got this opinion.
I'm sorry now, Dave, but anybody who is able to complete 4 tasks before 7 a.m. are definitely the same people that are saying, when you ask them how they are, living the dream. Oh my God. Pet peeve. Anyone that says living the dream, I'm sorry. I don't care if you're my mother. I don't care if you're my neighbour. My son's teacher. If you say living the dream, just like, what are you doing with your life? No, I'm sorry. I just, and the people that say living the dream and throw their eyes up, so it's like they're contradicting themselves while saying it. Just stop saying it. But yeah, they're the people. They're the people that are getting 4 tasks done before 7 a.m. Those annoying people that you smile at and you're just like, oh, you bog me.
Thanks, Sarah. So I just basically feel like I'm underachieving by just getting up in the morning, having a shower, brushing my teeth, and going to work. That's not enough, apparently. I should be like doing all of these other jobs people are doing. Mostly women, it seems.
Well, that was the feedback we got, was that it was a lot of women doing the jobs in the mornings and the men just get up and leave for work.
Wouldn't it be true? There's more women than men in the world, right? So,
huh?
Yeah, there's more women than men
in the
world.
Are you saying that like it's a fact?
No, because it's a fact.
Is it actually?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So that would mean there's only a very small percentage of women who aren't doing this, because about 45 of the 46% of people doing their early jobs are women. And then 1% is men. And then there must be like about 8% of other women just going, I'm not doing that. Oh, I'm like the man.
I'd love to be that woman.
Yeah. I do think
there's also a divide between mammies and non-mammies. Because there's added pressure.
Jobs,
I have no one. If I don't clean the apartment or I don't tidy up, no one's going to know.
Yeah, but I do think it's in you. Like when I lived on my own, which I regularly reference when I'm at home. I lived on my own, I didn't have to deal with any of this. When I got up in the morning, I would probably clean the kitchen a bit.
Right.
Put away clothes, put on another wash or whatever before I went to work. So they were just different jobs I was doing before I was a mammy.
I know what you mean. It's kind of intrinsic that you either are. I'll give you an example. One of my two sons were having an argument, right? So one of them put a bowl of just finished cereal, right? So enough milk in the bottom of the bowl that there was like a few bran flakes or whatever's in it and put a glass in it. And as kind of retribution for whatever had happened, put that underneath the other son's bed, right?
Yeah.
Now, the other son knew it was there, but out of like, you know, pigheadedness, wouldn't remove it. As his room steadily over days got stinkier and stinkier because the milk had gone off in the bottom thing. And I walked into his room one day and went, oh my God, like, what's happening? This isn't normal. And he's like, yeah, there's a bowl under my bed. I was like, well, put it in the thing. No. My brother put it there. And I was like, no, no, no. Like, how long would you let this be? He's like, forever. He has to get it out. So I had to round up the other fella and force him to go in. And then he didn't want to do it because, well, he kicked me. That's why I put it under. I was like, no, get the stinky gross. And we had to put it in the bin. It was so bad. It was alive. Like,
stop. I mean, it is impressive, though.
That, well, that level of dedication. Yeah.
Like, come on. Yeah. He must have been deep down somewhere. He was like, yeah, good. Fair play to him.
I'm so proud. Yeah.
Oh, that's my boy.
I'll tell you who I am proud of is the people who play Music Master. It is an amazing quiz where I challenge your musical knowledge. Well, of course, reward it with the gift of prizes. It could be €250 in cash, a certificate for your wall that says you're a Music Master, and a pair of Dave Moore Bluetooth headphones. And even if it doesn't go well for you, you could walk away with a Dave Moore mug. It's Music Master.
Master.
Now, this is Music Master, a music quiz. Grace Mullally in Cork, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks. How are you, Dave?
I'm good. Do you want to jump into round one and give it a go?
Okay, yeah.
Go on.
Round one.
Okay, three categories to choose from, Grace. You can have So Close, So Snazzy, or Regrets. What would you like?
I think I'll go for So Snazzy.
Okay. Going to ask you questions about fashion icons in music. 60 seconds on the clock. And your time starts now. The image on the front of the album Hunky Dory is considered a fashion moment. Who is the artist? David Bowie. Cowboy hat from Gucci, Wrangler on my booty is a lyric from which Lil Nas X song? Old Town Road. Which Blackheart singer sang Put Another Coin in the Jukebox, Baby? Joan Jett. A$AP Rocky is considered a fashion icon, but name his partner, who's even more famous for her clothes and music. Rihanna, yes. Golden was the 2019 single from Fine Line. Who is the artist? Harry Styles. Which Bodak Yellow rapper is known for her risque outfits and her very long nails?
Nicki Minaj.
No, Cardi B. The Hermes Birkin bag is named after which French songstress?
Grace Kelly.
No, Jane Birkin. Which American woman singer is known for his love of leather trousers?
Can you say that again?
Yeah, which American woman singer is known for his love of leather trousers? Lenny Kravitz, yes. Finish the song title from this 70s There's those drums. Uno, dos, two you got.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, it's not terrible at all. Sure, we can change that in the bonus round now. Hang tight. Yeah.
Bonus round.
So the bonus round is still going to be fashion icons, okay? It's going to be a random few seconds. So I'm just going to play you literally a couple of seconds from a song. And you have to tell me who it is, artist and title, okay?
Okay,
here's your first one.
Stretch and try to come to life.
What's Dolly
that? Dolly Parton 9 to 5.
Dolly Parton 9 to 5. There you go. Boom. Straight in. Okay, try this one.
Damn, they don't make them like this anymore.
Kanye West.
Yes.
Stronger, Better, Faster.
Yes. Stronger is all we need for that one. Yes, that's absolutely right. Listen, that's two. You've doubled your points already. Okay. But if you get this one right, I'm actually going to go and I'm going to triple your points from two to six. So fashion icon, random few seconds, artist and title, please.
I never meant to call you when you
Prince Purple Rain.
You've only gone and done it. Well done. The random few seconds is all you need. Well done, Grace. You've now taken that two, multiplied it by three. So your final score is six. Feel a bit better about it now?
A bit better now. Thanks so much, Dave.
Listen, you're very welcome. Congratulations. Now, we've got to see how your competitor, Jason, does.
Music Master on Today FM.
Right, let's see how Jason Maguire is going to do. A score of six to beat. Jason Maguire, hello.
Hello, Dave.
You well?
I'm not too bad at all.
How's your musical knowledge?
It's okay. All right, I like listening to it. I can't play or sing.
So. Ah, no, but it's the knowledge, not the ability now. That, you don't need that. We never make you sing to win your prizes on Music Master. Although that's an idea. You might write that down. Okay, Jason, let's jump into round one and see how you do.
Round one.
So two categories to choose from. You can't have So Snazzy because Grace took that, but you can have either So Close or Regrets.
So Close.
Okay, going to ask you questions about famous number twos. And no, it's not Dave's Bad Jokes. It's nothing to do with the tile that you sort of eat. Famous songs that went to number two but never got to number one. 60 seconds on the clock and your time starts now, Jason. Finish the lyrics from this famous number two from Five. Get On Up.
Get on down.
When you're down. Which Maroon 5 and Wiz Khalifa collab peaked at number 2 in the Irish charts?
Pass.
Payphone. Number 2 single, Coming Home Now, was the 6th single for which Irish boy band?
Westlife.
Boyzone. This Means Nothing to Me is the lyric from which UK number 2 hit?
Vienna.
Yes. S Club Party was the UK number 2 for this band. What were they called?
S Club 7.
They were. Mick Hucknall sang about holding back the years as part of which band?
Simply Red.
Yes. Name the two bands involved in the Battle of Britpop in 1995.
Laura and Oasis.
That's right. Who sang Yeah, You and Me, We Can Ride on a Star?
Pass.
Just take that. Where did Petula Clark sing about going?
Downtown.
She did. Technotronic sang Pump Up the What?
Volume.
Jam. Missy Elliott featured on 1-2 Step. Who was the main... Oh, there's those pesky drums. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for you, Jason. That's before we get into the bonus round. So the bonus round is important for you.
Bonus round.
So a random few seconds is the game we're playing with you as well. Your category still applies. These are all songs that went to number 2, never got to number 1, as big as they are. And I need the artist and title of each one, okay?
Okay.
All right, here's your first one.
Help me carry this load.
Aloe Black, Money.
Aloe Black, and... I Need a Dollar. You saved yourself there, well done. Give you that one, Aloe Black, I Need a Dollar. What about this?
Impossible as it may seem.
Quit Playing Games With My Heart.
Yes, by
Tony Braxton.
By who?
Tony Braxton.
Tony Braxton. Oh, look at you. Yes, it is the Backstreet Boys. Well done. You're falling over these lines, but you're getting there, Jason. Okay, the final one.
Got lipstick stamps on my passport.
What's that one?
I didn't get it.
No. I need an answer.
No, I can't get it, Pat.
It was your namesake. It was Jason Derulo and Talk Dirty. But with your 2 in the bonus round, 5 plus 2 gives you a score of 7. By a margin of 1, you've gotten yourself into the final. Congratulations, Jason. We must say, unfortunately, hard luck to Grace. Grace, your score of 6 wasn't quite high enough.
Oh, no, unfortunately not enough.
But
I do a big shout out to everyone at work, actually.
Yes.
All my colleagues at Uber, they're all listening in at the moment. So
in Uber?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Big shout out to all the people in Uber. And come here, Grace, I'll send you out a Dave Moore mug, all right?
Oh, thanks so much. That's
You're
great.
You're very
Thank
welcome.
You.
Have a good day. See you, Grace.
Thanks so much. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Final round.
Okay, this is the final round of Music Master Jason. I'm going to give you 3 clues to the identity of an artist. You get the year they were born, the place they're from, and a lyric from one of their songs. And then you'll have 10 seconds to tell me who it is, okay?
Okay.
Okay, the year is 1988. The place is Nantes in France. And the lyric is, I'm doing my face with magic marker.
Doing my face with magic marker.
Anything?
No, I'm
You do know the song, yeah. It's Tilted, and it's by Christine and the Queens. Yeah, I know. It's one of those things, isn't it, where you know a bit of it, but unfortunately it is the artist we're looking for. So Christina the Queens, unfortunately, will not mean I can call you a Music Master, Jason, but I will send you out a pair of Dave Moore Bluetooth headphones and you can enjoy them, all right?
That's great. Can I just say hi to my wife, Valerie, and my 3 kids, Kira, Anya and Saoirse.
Brilliant. Absolutely, Jason. Have a cracking week. Thanks a million for playing.
All right, thanks a million, Dave.
See you, bye.
Bye, bye-bye.
Music Master with Dave Moore on Today FM.
All right, look, to Jason, couldn't be a Music Master. Actually, have you seen that Australian comic guy with long hair who shouts at a guy called Jason and he's God, or he's like, Jason! And the guy's like, what? And he has a martini glass. He's like, I want to invent a new sport, Jason. And he starts writing down, what is it? It's called rugby, Jason. Rugby, okay, and what's it about? It's... 15 men, they grab each other and run around the ground. Jason, write it down, Jason. And as I was playing Music Master, all I wanted to do was shout, Jason, the guy. Look, I think
and
his name
only
is Jimmy
you would
something.
Laugh.
Yeah, me and 4 people would definitely find it hilarious. And then everyone else would be like, that Dave guy's pretty
Get
weird.
That guy off the radio.
I said it to Emer that I think that was like, if that lyric was for me now, I was getting it, no bother.
Christine the Queens.
Yeah.
Boom.
Doing my face at Magic Marker. Like, I rarely ever get them, being honest.
It's such an iconic lyric.
I would be shocking at Music Master. Yeah, no. The question, building my score, I'd be ace.
Would you?
Yeah, but that last round just...
I think I'd be terrible. Like, I'm so bad at, you know, beat the intro and all that. Like, when we played that here on the show, like, I'm so bad.
You're so bad. For someone who's worked in radio for so long.
Yeah, it's weird.
You're terrible.
You're truly terrible.
I really am terrible at that. I'm terrible. I think I'm terrible generally at just life. I'm just terrible at knowing things.
You're a terrible person.
No, do you know what?
You are.
I'm terrible at knowing things.
Thinking you have spent your last 20 plus year career timing your talking over the intros of songs so that you don't talk over when the person starts singing.
And for 7 years before that, Maria, I worked as a musician writing and creating music and looking at songs and learning
still,
songs and examining why does that song work. And I literally I'd be the worst Music Master contestant that's ever been.
You literally try and do it for a living, the intro.
Yeah. So I'll host Music Master till there's no tomorrow, but you're not getting me to play it. One thing I also won't do is be a gladiator, but the lad we talked to is an unbelievable gladiator. I can't wait to see this movie. Gladiator 2, Paul Mescal, Ireland, overachieving yet again, whether it's boxing or golfer, acting, were just amazing. And Paul Mescal is Lucius in Gladiator 2. He came on not to talk about the movie, but to talk about the trailer. That's how big this movie's going to be. The trailer gets the stars out. And I was lucky enough to have Paul Mescal in for a chat. Paul Mescal, welcome back to the show. The last time we spoke, you gave me and Andrew Scott the upside down Haribo jellies trick. So thank you for that. It's changed my life.
Very, very welcome. Happy to be of service.
Now listen, we're all so super excited to see the trailer to Gladiator 2 later on today. Like, how does it feel to have this much hype about a trailer?
I mean, like, it's new territory for me. It's absolutely bananas. But like, I've seen the trailer, seen the film. I think from my end, the hype is kind of warranted. Look, I'm as big a fan of the first film as the next person. And I think it's just indicative of the legacy that this film has. And Ridley Scott directing a second one, it's for people who love film, I think it's a no-brainer, right?
It really is. And look, I know we're seeing the trailer later on today, but what can you tell us about the film in terms of what's going to be seen? Because you've seen the trailer, you don't give us any spoilers, but in terms of what people will see today.
I think what they should expect is that it picks the world of the first Gladiator up and plants it kind of 20 years in the future. And it has the same energy and spirit of the first one, but the character's journey through the mad world that is ancient Rome couldn't be more different.
Right.
I think it balances a kind of honoring of the first film, but is very much its own beast, and it very much is a beast of a film.
And I can imagine, I can't wait to see it, so I really can't. But I also kind of, I do like the fact that in real life, it's been 24 years since the first movie.
Okay.
And we're kind of that length of time ahead as well. It's just kind of a nice marrying of real life and the movie world together.
Yeah. No, it's very satisfying in that regard in terms of time and story. Yeah.
And is it true that that you reckon that playing the GAA helped you secure the role?
Oh, look, whatever it took to get me over the line, I'm sure... Look, I'm well used to kind of throwing myself around on a pitch, and that was useful in the Colosseum of ancient Rome for sure.
I would imagine. Talk about the training for a second. Was there much that you had to do to kind of become this character of Lucius and physically embody him? Did you need to change anything about yourself that way?
Yeah, I had to eat a lot, to put on a bit of stone,
really?
Had to lift lots of heavy things, run around. But like, I had a team of people around who are telling me to eat what, when, run where, run how far, lift this heavy thing for X amount of times.
Yeah.
But look, I love the kind of act of having when you're talking about films of this scale, you have a team of experts around you who support your entire process. So it was kind of a dream come true with that. Like, there was no stone left unturned with that kind
Amazing.
Of part.
And hair, makeup, beard, was that all natural or did you have any?
It was all natural, believe it or not. Yeah. Grew out the beard for what felt like 10 years. the Jana and Juliana who did hair and makeup on this were just extra, and their work in the film is next level. Like, yeah, so it's lots of blood and dirt covered sweaty men running around for 2.5 hours.
That's what we're all looking for. from an Irish man's point of view, like, you know, going from Sausage Ads to Gladiator, like, do you know how proud we all are of you, man? Like, seriously, this has just been such an amazing journey.
No, it's like, I've said this many, many times, but I feel like incredibly proud to be Irish. And like, as you said, going from Sausage Ads to this wasn't in the bingo cards for me. And to feel like me and Andrew Scott both spoke about this, coming home to do the All of Us Strangers premiere last year. I think it, like, I'm absolutely biased, but I think we've got the most extraordinary country and people who are deeply supportive of the artists that we have. Mm. And we're kind of, as a country, punching far above our weight in terms of the output. And long may it continue. And it should be supported, because we've got immense talent for such a small country. And I definitely feel like an overwhelming sense of support from people back home, and can't wait to take the film there, to be honest.
Amazing. Well, look, we're very glad that you do feel it, because we are definitely sending it out to you. And do please, when you come over for the actual release of the movie to Ireland, drop in to the studio, say hi. Oh, we'd love to see you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, bud. See you soon.
Cheers. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye, bye.
I don't know about you, but I am just dying for November to come around. I want to see this movie so much. And even Emer, you're not even that interested generally in movie releases, but you're excited about this.
Yeah.
You want to go see it in the cinema.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not entirely confident I've seen the first Gladiator. I think it was on once when I was homesick from school and my dad had it on. So I don't know. If it involves having to do a catch-up thing, I don't know if I can commit to that.
It's not watching
one,
anyway.
It's one movie.
It's amazing. I can't stay awake in the cinema.
Watch a recap.
We've talked about this before. But I fall asleep really quickly when I'm watching things.
If the movie is boring, and it rarely happens to me, I find movies just immensely captivating, no matter, even if I don't really like
the
movie.
You think every film's amazing.
I'm a little bit hyperbolic that way. Everything's amazing. But there's occasions when, look, it's been a long week. It's maybe a Thursday evening or a Friday afternoon, whatever. And I'm kind of going, okay, I have to go to cinema. I'm starting to nod off. I'm going, no, I can't. And I can't fall asleep because I'm the only person in the cinema. Whatever. But I'd love to see Emer.
No,
if that was your job.
If
that was your job that you had. Because I'm watching the movie because I have to ask the actors questions.
Yeah,
so I can't even zone
for
out.
Work, I'd probably be able to keep it together for a minute.
I do remember somebody in a small cinema in Smithfield. What's that one called?
Lighthouse.
One of the smaller screens we went in. And someone had obviously had a tremendous night the previous night. It was like a 12:30 early screening of something. And it was quite atmospheric and emotional. This movie wasn't a blockbuster. Like, it was kind of an independent film.
Yeah.
And about like 40 minutes in, it was just like... And there was about 6 of us in the cinema.
Uh-oh.
And a security guy. And like, I had to go up and like tap him on the shoulder and just go... Excuse me, sorry, you're disturbing. Because it was like crying and quiet bits in it. And he's like... It was like,
do we know who this person is?
I know who it is. I'm not willing to share names, unfortunately.
I share names.
You did. You shared names. The microphone's down. Okay, I'll tell you who it was.
No, stop doing this.
I thought as much.
I'm sorry to all our podcast listeners.
That must be annoying.
That's very annoying.
Less secrecy next time, we promise.
Dave Moore on Today FM.